Everybody just hum along.
Expect that. It is so good to see all of you, at least to see the whites of your eyes. I missed you. And it's been 2 months since we've met together and in person. And I've appreciated your calls and your cards, your texts, your emails. It's encouraging, you know, just me and Janet, just preaching to Janet, which I've been preaching her in her kitchen for 30 years, you know, so it's a But it is so good to have all of you here. I mean, just turn your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 122. Psalm 122. We can't sing with our masks on. Everybody pass out. So our order of service is we'll have a scripture reading and prayer. Mike's going to sing, and then I'll preach, and we'll be dismissed. I'm not going to put out a bulletin every week. It's just, we can't do a call to worship. It just will reduce the touch points, you know, if we're not doing bulletins. But all the articles I would put in the bulletin will be on the Facebook page. If you check those, they'll be up several times a week. All the stuff that people leave here for convenience sake, you're going to have to take home with you, because people tonight are going to be sitting in your chairs. So, and after the service, we'll disinfect the building, the chairs, and all the touch points and everything, so it's safe for people to come back tonight. If you want to leave your footrest, feel free to leave them. I'll disinfect those. If you're not comfortable with that and want to take them home, take them home. But we thought that would be the best way to do that. And just let me tell you, we're going to have to follow these safety guidelines, and I'm sure it's going to be for the long term, but we just got to do it for safety, but also the comfort of people here in the congregation. We got some people that are high risk, and you know, for their sake, we're going to follow these guidelines. So I appreciate your help in that. And while they are not here this morning, everyone should know that we have two new high school graduates graduating this afternoon. Lucy Simpson and Brady Floyd are graduating this afternoon, and we're awful proud of them. Wish we could celebrate them in the normal way, but we can't do that. So, all right. Psalm 122. I was glad. Oh, I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem." Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and my companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Thank God for his word. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, our great, sovereign, merciful Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence this morning. Father, we bow humbly, knowing that we are but sinful men and women, and we dare only come into your courts before your throne in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. pleading His righteousness, His obedience that makes us righteous, pleading His blood that cleanses us from all sin. Father, we bow before You. We praise Your matchless name. We praise You for Your goodness, Your character, Your holiness, Your justice, Your mercy, Your grace. We praise You for who You are. And Father, we thank You. How we thank You for Your mercy and Your grace to sinners as found in our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, how we thank You that You've seen fit to enable us to again come together in person and to worship You together. Father, we're thankful. And Father, I pray this morning that You would bless this time of worship. Father, give us an hour of true worship. Give each of us here this morning a heart of worship. Speak to our hearts this morning and enable us to in awe and wonder worship God our Savior. And Father, I thank You for this congregation. I thank You for each one. I thank You for Your mercy and blessing and protection upon them. And Father, we pray Your continued blessing and leadership and guidance in the days ahead. Father, for those that You brought into the time of trouble and trial, those who are heartbroken over loss of loved ones, those who are sick and hurting in different trials, Father, we pray for them. We know Thou art able. You can comfort the heart. You can heal. You can touch. You can deliver. And Father, we hold them up to Thee. We continue to pray for our world, Father, this awful sickness is sweeping across the land, that You would provide some relief, that You would provide the answer to provide relief in this. And give us the grace and the patience to wait on Thee, knowing that this has come from Your hand and You're doing all things well today, just like You always have. Now, Father, again, we beseech Thee that You'd enable us to worship Thee. Let us hear a word from Thee this morning and to leave here rejoicing in Christ our Savior. It's in His precious name we pray and give thanks. Amen.
I was glad when they said unto me, burdened with guilt and with sin. was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, where there's joy and love and peace.
All right, let's look again at Psalm 122. I could not think of a more obvious or better text for our message this morning after 2 whole months of not being able to meet together in person. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. It seems like an obvious text, but I do believe the Lord's given me a message for us from this psalm today. Now, this is one of several what we call psalms of degrees. They just keep climbing higher and higher and higher in glory. David wrote this particular psalm for folks to sing as they would go up into the worship in the temple. The priest would sing it, or the people would sing it as the priest climbed the steps into the temple. They would also sing this song as they would travel up to Jerusalem when they would go up for the different feasts, annual feasts. They sang this psalm. And they sang this psalm and other psalms of degrees when the people were returning from captivity in Babylon. Remember, they'd been down there 70 years in captivity. And they were finally coming back to Jerusalem. They're going to come back and they were going to rebuild the temple. They would be able now to go into the house of the Lord. This psalm had special meaning to them on that trip, don't you think? They were singing, oh, I was glad. And they said unto me, let's leave this place. Let's leave this Babylon. Let's go to the house of the Lord. And I pray it'll be special for us this morning, too. David says, verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, why was David so glad to go to the house of the Lord? Well, I'll give you 7 reasons from our text this morning. And the first one is this, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord, because there is forgiveness for my sin found in the blood of the sacrifices offered in the temple. Look back at 2 Samuel, book of 2 Samuel chapter 12. I just wonder if when David was writing this psalm, did he think back to a specific time that he went into the house of the Lord and he was glad to go there and worship? Maybe he thought of that time after he committed adultery with Bathsheba and he had her husband Uriah killed. In 2 Samuel 12, verse 7, Nathan had come to David after 9 months. The baby was about to be born. And David thought his sin was hidden. He didn't think anybody knew. In verse 7, 2 Samuel 12, Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thou art the man. David, your sin has been exposed. Your guilt has been exposed. David, you are the man. In verse 13, David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. It wasn't anybody else. It wasn't somebody made me do it. This is my fault. This is my sin. I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Now, how is it that David will not die? David's right. He sinned against the Lord. This is a grievous sin. How is it that David will not die? Is he not guilty? Oh, no, he's guilty. So why will he not die because of his sin? Well, Nathan could tell David, David, you're not going to die because God's put away your sin. The blood of Christ has been sacrificed for your sin. That's the only way your sin can be put away. You will not die because Christ died for you. Now, verse 14, he says, how be it, because by this deed that thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Now, the sin of God's people is forgiven. The blood of Christ is washed it away, paid the debt in full. But there are always consequences for our sin, always. The child is going to die. And as long as this child lived, David wouldn't do anything. He wouldn't eat. He just stayed by that baby and he prayed and he begged the Lord, spare this child. He wouldn't eat, he wouldn't wash, he wouldn't, just begging the Lord to spare the life of this child. And then the baby died. And look what David did, verse 19. And when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is, he's dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel. And he came into the house of the Lord and he worshipped. Then he came into his own house. And when he required, they set bread before him and he did eat. When David found out that the child was dead, David got himself ready and he came into the house of the Lord. And scripture says he worshipped. He worshipped. Now I'm just confident during these previous 9 months, David faithfully went to the temple on the Sabbath day, the tabernacle, whoever they met there at that time. The temple wasn't built, but I'm sure David went to the service on the Sabbath day. He wouldn't miss that. But for 9 months, David got no blessing. There was no joy, for he was just going through the motions of religion. And now, David's sin had been exposed. David's guilt had been exposed. His guilt had been exposed. David felt his need. And he went to the house of the Lord and he worshiped. When he was at the house of the Lord, he was reminded how his sin had been forgiven by the blood of Christ's sacrifice. David was glad. He said, I was glad. And they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. Let's go worship. He wasn't going through the motions anymore. Now, he's come to worship. Now he's come to hear a word from God. And he was glad to see that sacrifice one more time. That's how my sin's put away. He was glad. That's how I'm not going to die. That sacrifice died in my place. Now we don't offer blood sacrifices here. There's no more sacrifice for sin after Christ died. But we do preach the blood, don't we? We don't offer the blood, but we preach the blood. We preach Christ and him crucified. So I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. I was glad because of what I hear in the house of the Lord. I hear the gospel. And nothing makes me gladder than hearing how my sin has been put away by the blood of Christ. I don't have to do it. He did it for me. Nothing makes me gladder than hearing how my sin has been cleansed away by the blood of Christ. Christ is the only hope I have. He's the only hope of righteousness. He's the only hope of forgiveness. He's the only hope of eternal life that I have. So I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord and hear of the Savior again. Let's go hear a word from God and worship and hear one more time about the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me hear one more time, you shall not die. You're the man. You're guilty, but you shall not die because God's put away your sin. Oh, that made me glad to hear that. Then, number two, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord, because that's where we stand. Verse 2 in our text, Psalm 122. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Now, we call the tabernacle, the temple, we call that the house of God. But really, the house of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. The tabernacle and the temple are just pictures of Christ. The true house of God, where God dwells with men, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we call this, people call this building the house of the Lord, the house of worship. That's what you hear a lot now. They're opening up the houses of worship. Well, in this house, this is where we come hear the gospel. This is where we come hear the gospel of Christ. And this is where we're reminded, believers, stand. In Christ. We stand before God accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll show you how. Look back at Psalm 40. We stand in Christ because God set our feet on Christ, the rock of ages, so we shall not be moved. God put us there. In Psalm 40, verse 2. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. He set my feet on the rock. In Psalm 62, David said, he only is my rock and my salvation. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved off. God's established me on Him. That makes me glad to hear that. I love to hear that. That God has established my feet on Christ. And I cannot be moved off of Him. I love to hear that. I love it. But you know what? It was not always that way. I used to hate that, come to the house of the Lord. Got to go to church. That preaching is so boring. It lasts so long. But all that changed. Now I love it. Now I love to hear that message. Because God's given me a new heart. He's given me a new want to. He's put a new song in my heart. He's given me a new love. That's what David says, verse 3, Psalm 40. He's put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. Now I'd love to come to the house of the Lord and hear how we stand in Christ. Now, look over the book of 1 Corinthians. Believers stand in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We stand in Christ. We stand in this gospel. And we're not going to back away from it. We're not going to compromise it. Because we don't have any other hope. There's no other hope of salvation. There's no other message of salvation. We stand in this. And we will not back down from it. 1 Corinthians 1, or 15, excuse me, 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. You stand in this gospel, and you're going to keep standing in it, if you truly believe it. If God's given you faith to believe it, look back at Romans chapter 5. We stand in Christ. We stand in this gospel. And we stand, believers stand in God's grace. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Believers stand in God's grace. And we stand by God's grace. It's all by God's grace. So I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord and be reminded. I do not stand by my own power, but I stand by the power of Christ. I don't stand by my own power, by my own good works. I stand by God's grace. Now that's good news to the heart of a guilty sinner. Because if I got to stand on my own, I'm going to fall. I mean, there's no question about it. I'm going to fall. But if I stand in Christ, I'm eternally secure. And that makes me glad to hear that. All right, thirdly, back in our text, Psalm 122, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go unto the house of the Lord. Because God's people are in the house of the Lord. In verse 3, David says, Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Now, Jerusalem, the city of God, is compact together. It's like bricks put in a wall. They're compacted together. They're joined together. They get strength from each other. Now, I can worship. I can worship God when I'm by myself. I can worship God in prayer. I worship God as I sit in my study and study God's Word. I can worship. I can see Christ, and I can worship Him. Well, I tell you, if you didn't know it before, I bet you're going to learn it now. I can worship a whole lot better with y'all. I can worship a whole lot better when we're all here together. See, believers need each other. We need each other. Just worship is just better when we're all here. And we need each other to help one another, to encourage and support one another. Look at the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. No man, no believer, is an island unto himself. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Now the Christ, he is the stone. He's the cornerstone, the foundation. All believers are built upon him. But Peter says in verse 5, you also are lively stones. God's made you living stones, and you're built up together a spiritual house. That spiritual house is God's church. God's church is not this building. It's his people. And they're living stones built up together, cemented together by love. And that wall of believers, the church that God built up of his people, those living stones, they draw strength from one another because they're compacted together. You don't ever discount how much that you help and you encourage your brothers and sisters. It can be a kind word. It can be they need something done. You go do it for them. It can be things like that. But, you know, your simple faithfulness to be here, to show up every time these doors are open, that's an encouragement to your brethren. That's encouragement to them. I can tell you what else. It's an encouragement to me. It's an encouragement to me to know that God's blessing you, that God's giving you a hunger to hear his gospel and a need, and that he's blessing you. You encourage each other. We need each other in that way. So I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad because when I get there, you know who I find? I find my family. I find brothers and sisters. I find other believers there who have the same heartfelt desire that I have to worship the Lord. I find other believers there who are in love with the same person I'm in love with. We're all in love with the same Savior, and we can worship him together. And they help me, and they encourage me to help them. So I'm glad when they said to me, let's go into the house of the Lord because of who I meet there, God's people. Fourthly, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. Because in the house of the Lord, I hear the testimony of God. And I am enabled to give thanks. Verse 4, Psalm 122. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. Now God's testimony is the testimony that tells us of Christ. God's gospel is a testimony. It's a testimony of who Christ is, what Christ has done, why did he do it, and where is he now. It tells us all about Christ. The gospel is not about you and me. The gospel is about Christ. It's a testimony of him. The gospel we preach testifies that salvation is all in the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation, righteousness, is all in Christ's obedience to the law. Not my obedience, but his obedience to the law for me. Salvation cannot be by my morality or by my law keeping. It has to be because of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he came and he did for me what I cannot do for myself. He obeyed the law for me. That's how I'm righteous. It's in him. Not in what I do or what I haven't done, but it's in him. That's God's testimony. God's testimony is that salvation is all by Christ's sacrifice for me. Salvation is not found in what earthly pleasures that I give up. You know, people act like, well, I give up this sin, and that makes God happy with me. Why wouldn't you want to give up that sin? I mean, why would you want to hang on to it? God's not pleased with that. The sacrifice God's pleased with is a sacrifice of his Son. Salvation is purely in the sacrifice of Christ, because only he can take away sin. He's the only perfect man to ever live. He's the only perfect lamb. He's the only perfect blood. Only Christ and his sacrifice can take away sin. That's God's testimony. God's testimony is that salvation is all of grace. It's all of grace. And where's that grace found? In Christ Jesus. Salvation is not because I earned it. Salvation is not because I'm better than somebody else. If I'm saved, if you're saved, it's purely of grace. Purely of God's grace, even though we don't deserve it. It's salvation by grace. God sent his Son to be made flesh for this purpose, so he'd have a body to be sacrificed, to put away the sin of the people that the Father gave him to save. Dan, if that's not grace, I don't know what it is. Oh, saved by grace. And all of the tribes, all of God's people, I don't care where you go, they love to come and hear this testimony. They come together to hear God's testimony that salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they give thanks. Objects of mercy are thankful people. Thankful. So I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. Let's be reminded one more time that salvation is all in the Lord Jesus Christ. If any part of salvation depends upon me, I will be damned. But if salvation is all in Christ, if you can remind me salvation all depends upon Christ, all the responsibility for this thing is on Him, then I shall surely be saved. And I'll be glad. That'll make my broken heart glad. That will make me come and worship in thanksgiving. I'm glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord and hear one more time, Christ is all. Fifth, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. Because in the house of the Lord, I see God's sovereign grace. Verse 5, there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Now, the throne of the house of David is God's eternal throne. When David said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit here on this throne. It's the throne of Christ. And David talks here about a throne of judgment that's set. It can't be moved. It can't be overthrown. You can't have a coup. You can't have a different king come in. This is an eternal throne that is set. And that tells us about God's sovereignty. You know, the king who sits upon the throne of the universe that's eternal, that cannot be moved, that's the sovereign. Now, God is king. He's king over every minute detail that happens in His creation. He rules over it. That fact is seen all throughout the Bible. God does what He pleases. God never wants to do anything, ever. What He wills to do, He does. God never wants anything. He never wants for anything. God does as He pleases. He's the sovereign, and His rule is absolute. Nobody even has the right to question God. Nebuchadnezzar learned that. Nebuchadnezzar says, this is what I've learned. Nobody even has the right to say to Him, what are you doing? His rule is absolute. Now, that's the truth. That's just so. Well, here's the good news. This sovereign, who does as He will, as He pleases, that nobody can change, nobody can delay His purpose, nobody can resist Him. This sovereign has determined to save a people. He chose a people out of Adam's fallen race, a people that didn't deserve it, and He chose to save them. Then those people are going to be saved because the sovereign determined to do it. The whole Godhead joined in this thing. God the Father purposed salvation in divine election when He chose a people out of Adam's fallen race. Then those people are going to be saved because the sovereign chose to save them. God the Son came and He purchased the salvation of those people by His sacrifice for them. Then those people are going to be saved because God died to redeem them. And God the Holy Spirit, He applies that salvation. When He calls God's elect to Christ, and He gives them a heart of faith to hear it and believe it and love it, He gives them a nature that wants to come to Christ. He's the one that gives them the nature that says, I'm glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. And God the Holy Spirit will keep those people by His indwelling power in their hearts. Then those people are going to be saved. They cannot fall away. God won't allow it. He won't let them. See, salvation is all of God's choosing. It's all by God's doing, by God's calling, and by God's keeping. Salvation is not my choice of God. If salvation was my choice of God, I'm in trouble. Because, you know, I change my mind frequently. Salvation is not in my choice of God. Salvation is in God's choice of me. Now, that's so. It's all throughout the Bible. Well, again, here's the good news from that. Since salvation is all of God, it cannot fail. It cannot fail. So come what may, God's salvation cannot fail. No event in time. I don't care how earth-shattering we think it is. I don't care how much it changes our world. 3 or 4 months ago, could you imagine this? Would you even imagine it? I mean, God sent a microscopic virus that just swept, it changed the whole world, hadn't it? I don't care how earth-shattering we think it is. Nothing, no event in time can ever cause God's salvation to fail. Ever. No heartbreak. I don't care how crushing that you think it is. I don't care how it's so crushing. You think you cannot move on. You think you cannot draw the next breath because your heart is so broken in a million pieces. No heartbreak, no matter how crushing that it is, will ever cause you to lose your salvation. No heartbreak, no sorrow, no matter how deep and how dark it is, will ever cause you to be separated from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Ever. No sin of mine, I don't care how heinous it is, can ever cause God's salvation to fail. No sin of mine, no matter how heinous it is, no matter how much it makes me want to get away from me, could ever make God cast me out. Not if the Father chose me. Not if the Son died for me. And not if the Spirit's given me life. It can't. God is sovereign. See, that's not just a good point of doctrine that separates us from the Armenian. God is sovereign. And that's good news. I'm so glad. Because His will shall be done. Shall be. Then that lets His people rest in calm assurance of salvation in Christ. Nothing can threaten God's rule. Nothing can threaten God's hold on His people. They are secure in Christ. Oh, I'm glad, and they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. Let's be reminded of Christ, the sovereign, successful Savior, who cannot fail to save the people that the Father gave Him to save. That'll make my heart worship. That'll make my broken heart glad. Then sixth, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord, because prayer is made in the house of the Lord. Verse 6, David says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Now, David says that prayer for peace is made in the house of the Lord. And truly, prayer of all kind is made in the house of the Lord, isn't it? And the people who love the Lord, they prosper there. Now, what does that mean? Look with me to Isaiah chapter 56. This will give us some help, I believe, on this matter of praying for peace, the house of prayer. Isaiah chapter 56. Verse 3. Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. Now this, the Lord says, don't let the stranger who's from a faraway land, don't let him say the Lord separate himself from me so that I can't seek the Lord and I can't worship him. Don't say the Lord won't accept me because I'm a stranger. And don't let the eunuch say, I've got no hope of life. Don't let the eunuch say, I'm under a curse because I'm a eunuch, so there's no hope of grace for me. Don't let them say that, God says, because there's hope for sinners in God's mercy. And here's why there is hope for all kinds of sinners from all over the place. Look down at verse 7. Even then will I bring to my holy mountain. I'll make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. Not just the Jews, but for all people. The Lord's going to gather His people. He's going to gather sinners from all over the world. Sinners who have absolutely no hope in themselves. He's going to gather them to His house. He's going to go to them by His Spirit and tell them, let's go into the house of the Lord. He's going to make them glad to go. He's going to make them joyful. And He brings them to His house of prayer. And God will condescend to hear their prayer. He says, I'm going to hear their prayer. I'll hear the prayer of all sorts of people, all people from every nation, every background, every race, because this is a house of prayer. And this house of prayer, this thing's a two-way street. This communication is a two-way street. Now, I'll tell you where it begins. It begins with God. First, God speaks to us. He speaks to us by His Word. He speaks to us by His Gospel. He tells us about the sacrifice of Christ. Isaiah mentions here the burnt offerings and their sacrifices, their sin offerings. Those things, God tells us about Christ, our burnt offering. He tells us about Christ, our sin offering. Those sacrifices that were offered in the temple were pictures of Christ. See, God tells us about Christ, how Christ's sacrifice has completely and utterly put away the sin of His people. And we're joyful. Joyful. That's how God can save a sinner as rotten as me. That makes me full of joy. First, God speaks and lets us hear, and then we speak. See, we respond in prayer, in praise, and thanksgiving. And God will hear our prayers for Christ's sake. He will hear our prayers because of those sacrifices, because of the blood of Christ. Now, that's how those who love the Lord that David talked about, he said they'll prosper. That's how they're going to prosper. Because God's going to speak to them. He's going to hear their prayer, cause them to speak to Him and make them pray, make them glad. So I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. This place is the house of prayer, where God speaks to my heart and where He enables me to speak to Him in prayer. And the Lord says, this is for all people. All people. And we do no harm to God's Word when we say all people at all times. It doesn't have to be in this building. It's in the house. It's in Christ. Our prayer in Christ, God will hear our prayers for Christ's sake. So wherever you are, whenever you are, whatever it is that you're going through, the Lord calls all different kinds of sinners to come to Him in prayer and pour out their whole heart before Him. I wrote an article this week on Your Father Knows. And after I got it done and posted, I kind of wanted to rewrite it. But this is what was kind of in my mind when I wrote that. I didn't do a very good job of communicating this thought. But when our girls were little, you know what? Really, they just had a horrible day. Something awful happened to them. You know how it is. They're just little. And you know what really, truly comforted their heart? Janet would say, Mama knows. I'd say, Daddy, no, I know. I know. What is it that you need? What is it that's causing your heart to break? What is it that's filling you with worry and doubt and fear? Your Father knows. He already knows. Pour it out before Him. Just empty your heart out before Him. And when you're doing it, empty your heart out of praise and thanksgiving that He would condescend to hear our prayer. Oh, that makes my heart glad. Does that make you glad? Well, then seventh, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. Because in the house of the Lord, I hear about peace with God. Verse 7, peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. This world is a very troubling place. It's full of turmoil. It's full of hatred and trouble on every side. We need a place. We can go have peace, don't we? And this world is especially against God's people that believe Christ and that trust Him. Now, there's no way for the believer to have peace with this world. The only way you can have peace with this world is to compromise the gospel. And by God's grace, we're not going to do that. But the believer can still have peace while we're in this world. Not peace with the world, but peace while we're in the world. By having peace in the heart. And our natural heart, that's a troubling place too, isn't it? It's full of sin, which causes all kinds of trouble and turmoil, you know. And our heart, our conscience, will not be quiet about it. Our conscience will not be quiet and peaceful because our sin deserves damnation. Well, then how, while we're in this body of flesh, can we ever have peace? Peace in the heart. In the blood of Christ's sacrifice. It's the only place that there's any peace. The only way a sinner like you and me can have peace with God, peace of heart, is by having peace with God. And sinners have peace with God through the blood of the sacrifice of Christ. His sacrifice takes away the sin that makes God angry. And there's peace. In Christ, there's peace with God. And there's peace of conscience. If Christ died for you, you have no sin to feel guilty about. No sin. You have no sin to fear condemnation. Because Christ was already condemned for you. Christ already died for you. You have peace if there's nothing to fear. You have peace of conscience if there's no sin to feel guilty about. And that's what lets the believer have peace while we're in the world. Now, not with the world, but in the world. This is peace in the heart that cannot be shaken, that cannot be taken away, no matter how bad the storm rages. It's peace which passes all human understanding. Now, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. Because God's children tend to have less enjoyment of this peace. Now, this peace is perfect. It's always perfect. But our enjoyment of it's not perfect, is it? And we have less enjoyment of this peace when we absent ourselves from the house of the Lord. When we absent ourselves from the message that reminds us of Christ's sacrifice for us. Hearing the gospel gives my heart peace. Peace with God. But it also gives me peace with you. And it motivates me to pray for you, to pray that my brothers and sisters enjoy peace too. David says in verse 8, for my brethren and my companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. I want my brothers and my sisters, I want you, my companions in this thing. I want you to have peace of heart too. So I'll pray that God give you peace. And when God enables me, I'll preach the gospel of peace to you. I want you to have peace. Now this goes back to what I said a minute ago. God's people help one another. They help strengthen and encourage one another. And one great way to do that is by praying for one another. I'm thankful to hear from y'all. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. Because I need it. I do. I need it. I told you this before. At times I'm sitting in my study and it's just, I mean, I got nothing. I got nothing but dry words on a piece of paper. I mean, nothing. The words are true. They correspond with the scripture. But I got nothing. And then God turns a light on. I see, there's the message. There, and I thought, somebody praying for me. That encouraged, somebody praying for me. I need it. And that motivates me to pray for you too. To say, peace be with you, my Lord. God, give him peace. Give him peace. So verse 9, David sums it up. He says, because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Because of what I hear in this house, I'll say, I'll seek thy good. Hearing the gospel, it reaches the heart of God's people. It touches your heart, it comforts your heart, it feeds your heart, it teaches you. But the gospel also motivates the hearts of God's people. It motivates us to seek the good of God's people. I want to seek your good as a faithful pastor. I want to seek your good by doing everything that I can do to be sure that this house built here on Hurricane Road, continues to be a house of prayer. That it continues to be a place where the gospel is preached. Because the best thing that we can do for you, if you want to do good for somebody, the best thing you can do for them is let them hear the gospel. That as a church body, let's be determined. This is what we're going to do for each other. This is what we're going to do for our children. This is what we're going to do for our community. I want to do good for people by enabling them to hear the gospel of Christ. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. I was glad because of what I hear there, the gospel that's preached there. I was glad because of the prayers that are made there. I was glad because of the people that I meet there. They help my soul and make me glad. I pray as we leave here today, that you'll be like I've been for the past few days. I've been preparing this message. I had that chorus Mike sung just stuck in my head. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, how we thank you for this, your word. And Father, I pray you'd take your word, that you would speak to the hearts of your people. Speak to our hearts. Enable us to see, believe, and to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us be glad. Let us, our hearts be full of joy at Christ our Savior. That someone as wonderful as He is would condescend to save sinners such as we are. Father, how we thank you. Father, I pray that you'd bless your people. Bless this people that are gathered here this morning. As we go back to our homes and go back out into the world this week and do what it is we can do this week. Father, bless your people. Keep them safe. Watch over and lead and guide. Bring us back again when it's the right time. It's in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, for His sake and His glory, that we pray and give thanks. Thank you. All right. Well, you're dismissed, and Lord willing, we'll meet again Wednesday night. I don't think we need to divide, you know, everybody up. I think our normal Wednesday night crowd will fit in here sufficiently. So, Lord willing, we'll see you Wednesday night.